controversial wife, Grace, 41 years his junior, to take power. A day later, we learned that Mnangagwa, also known as ED or the Crocodile, had fled the country in fear for his life and had almost been captured in a gunfight at the exact same Mutare-Mozambique border post through which we'd crossed days earlier. We wondered if he might turn up at our guest house. Instead, a day later he turned up in South Africa, from where he released a statement saying that he would be back in Zimbabwe in a few weeks to remove Mugabe, free the country, and take power. That seemed optimistic, if not delusional, but we toasted it from a cantina on Ilha de Mozambique. The truth is, I wasn't much bothered either way. I had long since grown exhausted with Zimbabwe. I've written about the country for 15 years, and the cycle of hope followed by despair, and usually violence, has worn me, and everyone else, down. Mugabe was going nowhere, and his wife would succeed him. That view started to change slightly on the evening of Monday, November the 13th, when we learned, via a sudden barrage of WhatsApp and Facebook messages, that the head of the military, General Chiwenga, an ally of the Crocodile, had given a blistering press conference in Harare, at which he berated Mugabe and warned him that the army would intervene to stop his wife and her cohorts from seizing power. I'm a travel writer, not a conflict reporter, but I also know a story when I see one. The Zimbabwean military is a dark and brutal force, not given to idle threats, and if Chiwenga was threatening military action, he meant it. "Shit is going to kick off back home," I told my friends. "We should be there for it." After all, how better to complete a book about four guys in search of an adventure than by getting caught in an actual coup or revolution in their own country as it went down? The four of us were in nervous agreement and we raced back to Zimbabwe. It took us 3 days, but we entered the country on the night of Thursday, November the 16th, and it was a few miles from my parents' home near Christmas Pass that I had that interaction with the soldier. On the morning of Saturday the 18th, my three friends and I raced west for the capital, Harare, to attend a march that had been hastily arranged to persuade Mugabe to step down. Suffice to say, the march was one of the most extraordinary events in Zimbabwean history. Organized in 36 hours, it went off like clockwork, with the kind of precision and unity unknown to Zimbabwe. There must have been a million people on the streets that day, watched over with professionalism by the much-feared armed forces. Not a shot was fired, not a stone thrown in anger. 3 days later, Robert Mugabe did indeed resign, and the country broke into raucous celebration. Back home in the US, I wrote a magazine piece about the events. Coup Fever, it was titled, for which one of my travelling companions, Michael Bowles, a photographer, took the images. I then contacted my publishers and pitched them a book about four middle-aged men who set off on a road trip in search of adventure and who discover it when they get caught up in a real-life revolution back in their home country. I had already written the first half of it. All I needed was to tack on the story of the coup. I would try to speak to the Crocodile and find out how he escaped the country. I would speak to the military and ask them how they planned and carried out the entire operation. And I would try to find out how that march was so well organized. My publishers liked the idea, and in March 2018, I was back in Zimbabwe asking questions, which was when the problems started. For men who had carried out what appeared to be the perfect coup, the Zimbabwe military didn't want to speak about it. The Navy SEALs revealed all about the raid on Osama bin Laden. Mossad still boasts about the raid on Entebbe. But the Zimbabwe military was saying nothing about what they had dubbed Operation Restore Legacy. I asked multiple contacts to put me in touch with any senior commander, even off the record, but I met a brick wall. I did speak to the president's son. I was the first journalist he spoke to about his dramatic escape with his father. But when I asked him about the military, he said he doubted they would talk. Even Zimbabwean journalists with close ties to the armed forces got nowhere. It was then that my story took a strange turn. I had called a businessman friend in my parents' hometown, Mutare, a very connected man, to ask if he knew any officers who would speak. "No," he told me, "but I do know someone."